Today, how many households are behind with their mortgages? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. According to a piece in news.com.au by Jack Painter, he wrote, as the nation emerges from the economic blows of COVID-19, a third of Aussies have one thing in common with their mortgages, and it's bad news. Almost a third of Aussie mortgage holders are more than 30 days behind on payments, a new survey has revealed. The Finder survey of 446 Australian home loan customers has found about 31% of mortgages, or around 899,000, are behind on payments. Almost a fifth of those surveyed were behind by 30 days or more, 8% by 60 days or more, and 5% were considered seriously delinquent as they were behind by 90 days or more. South Australia has the greatest number of mortgages in arrears at 41%, followed by Queensland with 36%. The remaining 69% of home loan customers surveyed said they were up to date on their repayments. Finder home loan expert Sarah Mechison said while virus cases were dwindling in Australia, the financial effects of the pandemic were still being felt. COVID-19 put a lot of households on a precarious financial position, she said. Some people are still without work or underemployed and aren't earning enough to cover their monthly living expenses, including their mortgage. With some homeowners now only a few missed payment mortgage payments away from potentially having their homes repossessed, this is no doubt a scary time. Ms. Megason said many people were also concerned about what would happen once the JobKeeper subsidy was wound back at the end of March, and she urged struggling mortgage customers to contact their lender as soon as possible. If you're falling behind on your repayments, don't put your head in the sand. The earlier you get help, the more options you'll have, she said. And the research found that men were more likely to be behind on repayments, with only 59% up to date, compared with 80% for women. The stark survey finding comes as the automatic loan deferrals due to the pandemic comes to an end, with the program set to cease by the end of March. The Australian Banking Association said last month 91% of deferred loans had resumed repayments. Just 5% of deferred business loans and 13% of deferred housing loans were yet to resume repayments. Chief Executive Anna Bly said banks were now talking on a more individual basis with specialised hardship teams for customers who were unable to make reduced repayments or restructure their loans. And Yahoo Finance asked me to comment on Finder's story, and Lucy Dean wrote, the number of Australian households in mortgage stress has increased by more than 4 in 10 as COVID-19 pressures continue to mount for families. That's equivalent to around 1.5 million households, Digital Finance Analytics Principal Martin North told Yahoo Finance. And the problem will likely only get worse once JobKeeper and JobSeeker coronavirus supplement expire at the end of March. This is a big deal, and it's something we should definitely be watching, North said. Mortgage stress was 32% before COVID hit, and now it's 41%. Digital Finance Analytics Mortgage Stress Metric measures 52,000 households' total financial flows, including mortgage repayments. Households in mortgage stress are those who cannot easily cover their expenses, including their mortgages. And S&P data released this week also found that Australian mortgage arrears are rising as JobSeeker and JobKeeper measures taper. It found that while the broader economic recovery and record low interest rates will help some borrowers, not all households are seeing the benefits. Homes more than 30 days in arrears rose to 1.37% in December 2020, compared to 1.28% in December 2019. Sidebar, of course, S&B is looking at prime mortgage-backed securities, the cream of the crop, in terms of risk profile. So it's not necessarily a fair indication of the whole market. They discuss prime loans. And she then referred to the recent Finder survey of 446 Australian borrowers, who revealed that approximately one-third of mortgages are currently in arrears, equivalent to 899,000 home loans behind on their loan repayments. We expect COVID-19-related arrears to be more meaningfully surfaced, beginning in the second quarter of 2021, following the expiration of mortgage deferral periods in March 2021, S&P said. And it noted arrears increases were more notable in inner city areas as renters had moved out and international traffic had dropped. However, this could change once borders open and CBDs come back to life. There is a considerable proportion of households who are really strapped and struggling, and it's only going to get worse because some of them are still on JobKeeper, North said. We have people who have less income coming in because they're working less hours or they're working gig jobs and doing part-time work, but also we've got those other cost pressures with regard to the cost of living. While Australia's rate of savings has increased over the last year, North warns it's an inaccurate metric, as the savings rates diverge notably between higher and lower income households. We have created a really distorted economy of these two camps, the ones who are doing really well and the ones who are not, he said. Unfortunately, I don't think there's enough focus on the large number of people who are really up against it. And S&P noted that a common way for borrowers to escape arrears is through refinancing. However, the ability of Australians already behind to refinance is significantly curtailed. In fact, we're creating a new class of mortgage prisoners. A lot of those under financial pressure can't switch to the lower mortgage rates, so you're a bit of a mortgage prisoner if you're in the wrong bucket, North said. He said struggling borrowers are not appealing options for lenders, and as such, financial pressures can become entrenched. Some of the people in mortgage stress are paying on average 1% higher than the people who've been able to refinance and switch to the lowest rates, he said. In fact, of the 83% of borrowers who were planning to refinance, 45% were unable to do so, Mozo research released in November 2020 found. The majority of mortgage holders, around 64%, feel their mortgage is incredibly high. A concern for many homeowners is an equity plummet, which could tip them into mortgage prisoner territory or deepen their inability to switch, Mozo director Kirsty Lamont said. If you are worried that you are no longer in a position to refinance, the first step is to do your research and see what competitive rates are on the market, and then talk to your bank about what they can do for you. And if they're not willing to give you a more competitive rate, consider how you can become more appealing to another lender. This includes knocking out debt, lowering your day-to-day expenses, and paying off as much of your loan as possible. Now, in contrast, new home sales increased in February 2021 to be 1.7% higher than February last year, prior to the impact of the COVID restrictions on new home sales, stated HIA's economist Angela Lillycrap. The HIA New Home Sales Report, a monthly survey of the largest volume home builders in the five biggest states, is a leading indicator, they say, of future detached home construction. Sales in the 3 months to February 2021 were higher by 60.5% than in the same 3 months the previous year. The strong result reflects the significant impact of home builder on demand for detached housing, added Ms. Lillycrap. Home builder was the catalyst for improving consumer confidence in the housing market. A surge in sales was observed following the announcement of Home Builder in June 2020, which led to strong sales through to the end of 2020. In December 2020, there was a near record volume of new home sales as households rushed to finalise contracts to build a new home before the end of the $25,000 grant. The full impact of the extension of the Home Builder grant at a value of $15,000 will not be observed until the end of March. To receive the Home Builder grant, construction is required to have commenced within 6 months of signing a contract to build. As a consequence, it is possible that builders will delay the signing of some contracts to allow for greater flexibility and more detailed planning of projects. For this reason, they said, we expect a surge in sales in March due to the lower grant offering This surge, though, will not be as large as the December 2020 surge. Record low interest rates and rising house prices are sustaining market confidence into 2021. This strong level of consumer confidence, combined with the demographic shift of regional areas, is driving ongoing demand for new detached homes, concluded Mr. Lillycrap. Sales in the 3 months to February 2021 increased across all jurisdictions compared to the same time the previous year. South Australia was up by 149.7%, followed by Victoria, up 69.1%, and Queensland, up 60.4%. New South Wales increased by 46.2%, and Western Australia was up by 25.1% over the same period. So you can certainly see the impact of government support on construction of new properties via Home Builder. But then I come back to those who have and those who haven't. And that's the real message for today. There are many people who are financially stretched and whose mortgage repayments will be a real question ahead. Others are doing a lot better. But somehow we seem to have created this two-speed economy. With roughly half of households feeling pretty confident about everything, and in fact spending like you wouldn't believe, and of course now enticed to travel interstate. But there is a soft underbelly of thousands and thousands of households who are financially strapped, who have not yet seen much benefit from any of the government support mechanisms, which of course have been withdrawn in any case, and are really struggling with their loan commitments, including their mortgages. And I think it's important we come back to think about it a bit harder. And also make two other quick points. The first is APRA allowed banks to redefine delinquent loans to ordinary loans without any issues, assuming that they were restructured or reset in some way. And secondly, the principal and interest deferrals on mortgages ends at the end of March. So at that point, we expect to see the clock really starting to tick on households who have delinquency issues in their mortgages. But this won't show probably until September or so. And then just one other data point that's worth reflecting on. Speaking to some of the lenders' mortgage insurers, they tell me that they haven't got a firm handle on the true state of delinquencies because of the APRA changes and because of the way the banks have been reporting their delinquent behaviour. Now, that's quite interesting insofar that lenders' mortgage insurers are effectively the first stop when it comes to dealing with mortgage defaults, because many high loan-to-value loans require lenders' mortgage insurance. So if they are having trouble reading the markets, it's perhaps not surprising that others are too. And remember again my final point, that many of the indices use mortgage-backed securities as a leading indicator of stress in the mortgage sector and indeed delinquencies, but delinquencies in those portfolios will objectively always be lower because they are by definition prime loans. The truth in the real world is that there are more households in significant difficulty, and whilst the finder numbers might be at the top end of expectations, my mortgage stress data suggests that many will continue to struggle in the weeks and months ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.